I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy New Year.
Happy 2026.
I guess if people are listening to this, we're a couple weeks into the new year. Our producer, Andy Lara, is here.
Howdy.
Good to see everybody. Mel is wearing a very thematic shirt.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be talking about Universal Studios Florida, Orlando today. In addition to other things, we went to, we spent a couple days after our holiday going down doing a thing we never do, which is fly together as a family. We do that very rarely.
Yep.
And going to the East Coast, the Southern East Coast. We went so far away. Florida is so far away from California.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about our ups and downs, our perks, our favorite parts of that, our least favorite parts. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about me losing my phone on a roller coaster.
Yes.
Lots of good stuff to get to.
No.
So tune in if you're interested about that, those type things. So I just got a text from Troy Johnson as we're for me. He's
nice.
I think I'm gonna. You want to read it? I'll read it to you.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, you don't have to read it, but this is fun.
What?
Yo, homie, what's your email? Sending you stuff about our 50 big people to watch. And send it in the magazine. I'm gonna be one of San Diego's 50 big people.
Oh my goodness.
You know.
Nice.
There you go. There you go. Eat it, Blink-182. Take that, John Foreman. Tony Hawk. All 90s punk.
Take that, Costco CEO.
Yeah. There's a guy you live down here? Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So anyways, I hope you guys are doing well. We got a couple of, we got a Patreon. Patreon Zoom's in the past, right?
It already happened.
It already happened. Was it good?
It was great.
What did we talk about?
We will have a February one coming up.
Yeah.
So there it is. Give a little more, get a little more to our Patreon. I'll just plug it real quick.
Mm-hmm.
VIP meet and greets at shows.
We did a few of those in Texas. Yeah.
Behind the scenes footage every week before we record our podcast. We got merch discounts. We've got posters. Cameos?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what that's called. Nickerson Family Christmas Card, all, monthly Zoom hang.
And the Zoom hang's great, yeah.
Lots of perks.
And if you are coming to an upcoming show and you want to do a pre-show meet and greet, now's the time to get involved on the Patreon. So,
right.
Speaking of upcoming shows, next week I'm in Charleston, South Carolina on, that's a Tuesday, Wits End Comedy Club on January 27th. And then that weekend I'm in Raleigh because I love the Carolinas, as I've talked about so much on this podcast, the 29th through 31st. February, Boise, Idaho. And then Salt Lake City, I'm recording my next comedy special February 13th and 14th. Check it out. Then we go to Phoenix, Chicago, Oshkosh, Washington, D.C., Everett, Tacoma, Philly, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Portland, Spokane, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Atlanta, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Denver, Eugene. More on sale that we're working on getting to. Trying to get to Chattanooga. Trying to get to Wilmington because I will go to the Carolinas at all costs. So everyone who came out would have been 2 weekends. I'll talk about Houston next week, but in our timeline here, Dallas was last weekend. Dallas has been such a wonderful comedy city to me. We recorded our special Runs in the Family there a couple years ago.
Yes.
Addison Improv, I love it. Some of the best fans. Shout out to Native Coffee, which was also, we got hoodwinked. It was a church coffee shop. I believe this happened to you as well.
Again, coffee juked.
The church coffee shop, it used to be.
Coffee juked.
Okay.
I'm so glad we're talking about this.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes you find a great coffee shop and you don't realize it's a church. It used to be easier. It used to be called Hebrews. Right? It used to be
the throne.
The throne room.
Holy Grinds.
Holy Grinds. It used to be
in the name.
And then it got like more cutesy in that it would be a Greek name. Something like that, you know?
Pothos.
Yeah. Or, you know, seeds.
Yes.
You know, something like that. You're like, oof. I could go either way. And now they're just like, this place was called Native. And you're like, well, that sounds like every good coffee shop I've ever been to.
You'd be like, yeah.
And I'm
trying to think of names.
And there was no hint of it that it was churchy, which I don't mind that it's churchy. But what that meant is when I went on Sunday, it was closed. And I got there and I was like, oh, wow, the parking lot is packed. It's very full. And then I was like, that's because church is happening right now. Because the coffee shop is empty.
Now, do they make coffee for the church service?
Maybe, but they didn't for me. And they're like, did you stick around and go to church?
Like a Chick-fil-A thing.
Yeah, and I was like, I did not go to church. I left mad.
I needed some coffee.
I wasn't here for coffee.
I guess you would have got it for free because it would have just been on like a, you know, a little do-it-yourself trip.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe. It'd be ironic if they were one of the ones where you can't bring coffee into the...
Our new church building, you have to put a lid on it. Put a lid on your
coffee. Gotta put a lid on it.
Lid on it. So we are in Orlando, and our maybe our travel day, Andy got coffee shop juked in Nashville.
Yeah.
And he was texting us about it. It was so funny.
Yeah. What was your place called?
Oh, I quickly forgot it for all the right reasons.
Was the coffee shop good, though?
Yeah, here it is. Here it is. It was called Surefire.
I mean,
that sounds fine. And they don't. And the thing is, on the photos and the on Google, hidden. I mean, like, they are not, you know, it's almost like they know. If they know we're a church, they're not going to come here. And so it was just, and it was.
And you got the
worst
cup of drip.
No, it wasn't even drip. That's the problem. Is like,
Native was good. This was a very good coffee shop.
And here's the funny part is like, she was like, oh, it's so cold. The drip's too cold. Like, I don't want to give it to you lukewarm. So let me just make you an Americano with hot water. First red flag.
Don't want Americano.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not what I'm here for.
Don't want.
I would actually rather drink drip lukewarm. Because it still tastes good than an overly hot Americano. That's because I drink them black. That's the hardest part of an Americano. Yeah. It's like, let me take your coffee and then just add a ton of hot water. It's like, why?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I've noticed is we're in an era right now where there are a lot of coffee shops that hate serving coffee.
Yeah, they're like, we haven't changed out this drip all day, so...
As someone who drinks drip coffee, it's a bad time to be going to coffee shops.
Yeah.
They like, oh, I'm sorry, we stopped making that at 9 a.m.? It's hard to, you know, it's hard to get coffee at a coffee shop. It's easy to get lemonade.
Matcha. Yeah.
It's easy to get a
beer.
It's easy to get a beer. It's easy to get a milkshake. It's easy to get something blended that has no caffeine in it. But if you're looking to get coffee, coffee shop might not be the place to go. You might be looking at a gas station.
Yeah. Yeah.
They love dumping out the drip. They love it.
I remember, you know, in the 2000s when I worked at a coffee shop, every 2 hours had to re-brew.
Every 1 hour at Starbucks when I worked there,
Our cafe was 2 hours, but I think.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And I'll give Starbucks credit in that they are still serving drip coffee. Drip coffee that got put on a burner at 9 a.m. at 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, had been pre-burned before they put it on there, and now has just been cooking. I mean, they might rotate it out, but I mean, if you want, they'll serve you drip coffee. It won't taste good.
They were shocked, I think, when they started to offer pour over and no one wanted it. And I was like, oh, people still want this other garbage. We'll just keep pushing it out.
I mean, listen, Starbucks decided, you know where money is? 14-year-old girls. We need to get in with the 14-year-old girls. Now, they don't have money, but if the 14-year-old girl asks their parent every day to go to Starbucks, that's how we...
The status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to get on the Instagram market.
Well, it's the food.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
It, like Better Buzz, they go, what food do you want today? And before you order your coffee drink.
It's just, it's very blatant with Starbucks anymore. They're like, hey, check it out. Swing by this spring and get a iced grande 6-7. And you're like, okay, Starbucks.
With protein foam.
Protein foam.
Cold cake pop foam.
Cold foam. Protein based.
You're like, but I want coffee. What I would like is a water through bean. I know it's a lot to ask to go to a coffee shop, but native in Addison, which is where I was great.
So you went back.
I went back on Sunday.
Saturday was good. Sunday was closed.
Okay. And I went to another place. Mm-hmm. I looked up on Sprudge Maps, which was also very good. Mm-hmm. Shout out Jordan Kasner, who helped me out with that. But Dallas was great and great crowds. Clint Gresham, who was a long snapper for the Seattle Seahawks when they won a Super Bowl, is a fan and came to one of the shows, which was great. He gave us a couple things. You want to give me that book? This is funny. First off, he gave me this book, which was very funny. He goes, I'm going to give you this book. Your kids are way too old for it. And I was like, well, our producer might like it. My first book of football, but he liked it because he's in it. When the Super Bowl, that's Pete Carroll, that's Russell Wilson, and that is Clint Gresham right there. to the Nickerson crew, go Hawks and God bless, which is very nice that he gave us this. He also gave us signed helmet which is nice if you want to hand me that.
I said that into the air. Our son read so many football books.
Oh, yeah. Kid.
He loved the stats.
Unfortunately, Clint, this book is 11 years too late. But but it was a nice gesture nonetheless. And they gave me a helmet here, which was nice. Dustin, thanks for the laughs. Clint Gresham, which is great. We'll put this, we're starting a nice little collection here. Which is great, old and new.
So nice.
And brought a gift. So this is a company that he's involved in. We have a snack.
Now that got me excited.
So these are called beefy meat chips.
Nice.
These are from Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So these are chips made of beef.
What do you have?
These are not beef flavored. These are actually made of beef.
So I have,
this is actual beef.
The original.
You have original.
And then what's that one there?
Salt and vinegar.
Ooh. So this is like a...
So this is funny. He brought me this one. Like I go, protein, and I go, you brought me an opened bag. Ooh. And he goes, yeah, my kids got in. My kids love the salt and vinegar one. Why don't you give me one?
Holy cow.
So yeah, this is beefy meat chips.
This looks like bacon, but... Yeah.
But from a cow.
Here you go, Andy.
Oh, yeah, this definitely looks like it.
Remember, this was a popular dog food in the 90s. Remember the...
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It is bacon.
Oh, no, it's fine. I was just showing the.
Will you give me the salt?
Oh, yeah. Can you throw her the salt and pepper one?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Prime brisket.
Wow.
No hormones or antibiotics.
That was no joke.
That wasn't
even the salt and vinegar one. That was just the regular flavor.
Yeah.
I mean, that is beefy. If you like beef flavored, that is home run.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay, salt.
I
vinegar.
Really, yeah. These are amazing.
Quite a snack, huh? Beefies.
Yeah.
That is trouble.
Well.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's funny you mentioned that it's trouble. So.
Clint, because these go to your hotel room.
Well, yeah. So Clint.
Wow.
Clint gave me these, which is very kind of them. And, you know, it's very. Steve Rogers opened for me, and it's very common that you'll go back to the hotel room after the show. You're up late. You've already eaten dinner, and you'll have a snack. And what I usually like to do is like a bag of potato chips and maybe like a little sweet something to go with that. So I opened these puppies up and then I ate what I would normally eat of potato chips, which is too much beef. And I was like feeling heavy. And they hit me. I was like, you just ate a steak, Dusty. You can't eat as many beefies as you can tortilla or potato chips because it's beef. It's not a thin little. And I was like, it was like 1 a.m. I'm like, oh, my gosh, my stomach is. You ate a bunch of late night beef, Dusty. So what I would recommend, beefy, is like a midday snack. You know, a little protein the same day that you have like a chomp or something like that. You need something to fill you up a little bit. You know, a late night snack. It is very, very dangerous, but very good.
It's very good.
Yeah, I'm excited to give Joel those. Our son.
I really like the.
The original or the salt and the.
Salt and vinegar.
Yeah.
Those are both great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is.
Yeah.
Delicious.
So anyway, shout out Beefy.
It's a very Texas, like.
Everything about it sounds very Texas. Mm-hmm. Conquer your cravings. That's
so
what
he's Dallas-based?
He's in Dallas, yeah. Nice. So, it was nice that he came out. So anyways, Dallas, thanks everybody for coming out to those shows.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, Clint, for the beefies.
Amazing.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing surface that's a game-changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client. Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. And now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.
We got a couple questions here before we get into our full episode here. Why don't you read this? This is from Julia.
All right. Surprise parties. Question for the group. Are surprise parties still a thing? I'm going to a surprise 50th birthday party for an old high school friend that her parents are hosting. I can't remember the last time I even heard of one happening. I thought as a culture we had realized that no one likes to be surprised and we just don't do them anymore. They're kind of like how we all realize that pranks are mean and we don't do pranks anymore. I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Are surprise parties still a thing? Love the podcast. I've been listening since I saw Dustin open for Taylor in NYC.
NYC.
Okay.
Would love your thoughts on this too, Andy.
Yeah. Julia, I think surprise parties are less of a thing than they used to be. I think you're right. I think it kind of goes in trends and phases. Like, if you guys haven't noticed this with the holidays, like, white elephant isn't as common anymore as, like, a gift game kind of thing. There's less white elephants than there used to be. Or, like, pranks. So, they're still around, but they're less. And I have a caveat for 40th birthday parties. I told you. I said, like, just by your 40th, it's okay if you have a party, but you kind of have to throw it.
Yeah.
Like, it's on you.
Or your loved one.
Yeah, not your friends so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and when I say throw it, you are kind of financing it, too.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you're inviting guests.
It's like a wedding.
Yeah. So there's a shift, you know, that happens.
I think as you get older, weddings and birthdays are the same thing. Like, you're paying for it and people can come, they can get you a gift, but you're paying for that puppy. I don't think as an adult you should expect a lot of people to pay for a whole shindig for your birthday. You know what I mean? Maybe they take you out for a coffee, a meal or something, but
well, it's just you're the adult.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. We don't have friends who have done this marker, or not that they are not 50, but they haven't done like a big party. So I'm not sure yet. That's coming up for friends. I think if her parents are throwing it, I think that's really sweet. And it will be a way to see a bunch of people that you probably haven't seen in a long time. So I'm all for it. I think you can do a surprise 50th, especially if the family's throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to show up and participate.
I think, Julia, what
this
you're
is
saying...
kind of a softball, what I'm saying.
What I read this as, Julia, is you would not like a surprise birthday party. And I am the same way. I would not enjoy that. We've talked about this before. So I did throw you a surprise birthday party for your 40th.
Yeah.
I think because surprise birthday parties aren't that common anymore, that makes it even more eventful when you do one.
Yeah.
You were turning 40. It was a big deal. A lot of people came out. We flew people out. It was like, we've never done anything like that before. It was here.
Yeah.
And it was a whole to do. I felt like I was keeping huge secrets for you. It was months in the work. A couple of your friends really helped. It was great. But I told you shortly thereafter, do not do this for me. If you feel like you need to repay me, don't. Don't do that in this way, because I'm with you, Julia, that I just wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't, like, some of it's just like, I don't want to know. Here's how I'd say. As an introvert, I don't want to surprise you have to talk to people. I want to know when that's coming.
Uh-huh.
I want to, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, like surprise, a bunch of social pressure to.
As an introvert?
Yeah.
surprise party is a nightmare. Surprise! You got a small talk to people you don't want to talk to right now. That's not fun for me. So I would not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like surprises, and I don't really particularly enjoy. Somebody asked me that about crowd work. I go, I just don't really like talking to them. You know, I like talking to people after the show and stuff, and taking a picture and that kind of thing. But I don't.
But not as the performance.
You know, what is crowd work if not small talk? What do you do for work? How long have you been married?
Yeah.
Great, good work. If you like that, fantastic. But so I don't know. What do you think, Andy?
I do think it's per person. I think if you're the surprise party thrower, it's like the tension of like I told you so. You know, you're going to get there. It's like, because then even if like, oh, you did a big surprise, and then the person could end up being like, not sure, like either like not right. enjoy it, and then it's like, oh, that didn't go as
it's
you
a
planned.
Risk.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big risk.
Big risk.
So yeah. you really got to know the person, I think, to land yeah. it. I mean, so I mean, yeah, maybe as a trend, like I think sure that's changed because they, I think they cost a lot. You know, it's a lot of risk for a lot of cost, and
yeah,
we're just not
it
in that kind of economic season yeah. as like a. People like it's that's
sure.
hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't like I personally don't think I want to throw a surprise party, but I personally wouldn't mind having one thrown for me.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm with you a little bit, Dustin. I'm like, I'm kind of nervous about it, but at the end of the day, I think I can push to, hey, someone really went out of their way to do this. It's a lot of work, so I'm gonna just arrive and,
right.
and get there.
Yeah.
You know, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
You
yeah.
like George though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. You're like, look at all my friends are here.
It was great.
Like you yeah. said today, I'm a very social person. All right, next email here. You want to read this one, Mel?
Yes. Liberty, horrifying movie experience with kids. Hi, Dustin and Mel, love the pod. After hearing the story about the Nativity movie on your recent holiday episode, I knew I had to write in and share this story. For the rest of the story to make sense, you need to know that my husband and I recently moved to Texas from Texas to Ohio to be a part of a church plant. So pretty much all of our friends at this point are other members of the church's launch team.
Classic.
Mm. Yep. This summer, we decided to host a cookout movie night on the lawn at our house, and I came up with the theme, Goonies and Grill. Yeah. Had I seen the Goonies at any point in the last 20 years? No. But I remembered it as a nostalgic adventure movie that I watched often as a kid with my dad. Well, cut to the party, an entire generation of our friends' homeschooled screen-free kids being traumatized by the opening scene of a criminal hanging himself in his jail cell. One of our friends, who was also a cop, hilariously jumped in front of the screen like a human shield while yelling at the kids, "Look away!" Needless to say, we have not been asked to host again. Keep up the good work.
That's classic. When you haven't watched a movie in a while, you go, "Oh, forgot about this part."
Yeah.
I was like, "What's the bad part in Goonies?" Goonies and Grill.
Goonies nice. And Grill.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a good adult hang.
It should be a national holiday for that.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. This email right here is from Janet D. Subject, hotel reservations in the 70s. Hey, Dustin and Melissa, on the last pod, you wondered how we handled hotel reservations back in the day. Well, I can tell you how my mom did it in the mid-1970s. Mom first researched our travel route on a map, noting the cities where we would need a hotel. Next, we drove to our local Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. There, they had a directory of all the other locations. It was in a little booth in the hotel lobby along with a telephone. She used that telephone to call each Holiday Inn that we were going to stay at along the way to make a reservation. The free phone was a nice perk since long-distance phone calls cost a lot of money back then. The hotel reservation system has come a long way since then. Side note, my parents liked the Holiday Inn because of their, quote, kids stay free policy. Our family all stayed in one room. So as the youngest of four children, I was lucky to get a rollaway cot. I usually had to be in the one in a sleeping bag on the hard floor. Thanks for the fun conversations on the pod. Janet in Fort Wayne. Hey, I'm in Fort Wayne in a couple months.
Our family was absolutely a Holiday Inn family.
Yeah.
And yes, we all stayed in one room, uh-huh. and we always got the roll away. But that still didn't solve all our problems.
You were a family of six.
Three beds
yeah.
and six people. So I infamously, sometimes we had three girls
on one
the
bed.
Wrong way. You know,
oh,
like instead
yeah,
of
voting yeah, yeah. Hamburger style.
Three to a bed.
Yeah.
And then my brother got the roll away.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think sometimes there was a couch.
Yeah.
That maybe that we had, I had twin sisters. It was all bad.
Yeah.
It was bad, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you want to have the worst night of your life, put a bunch of kids in a hotel room with you.
Yeah. And I mean, we had one brother. Mm-hmm. So
you got the bed.
I had to share a bed with my brother a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he'd always complain that I stole the covers.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's like 6'2". Yeah.
No, my brother's like 6'4".
Yeah. That's a funny old thing of like kids stay free. You're like, you're
kids
not...
eat free, kids stay
free. I read
free.
That as a myth. I'm like, wait, was that a thing?
That yeah. was absolutely a thing.
Well, because they used to really care about how many people you had in your room. And now I think it's a little bit like bringing snacks into a movie theater. Like, I just don't think they're really policing those rules anymore.
I suppose like there's like fire codes.
I don't know.
Right. They probably have to sell them that way, but they can't necessarily like you yeah. to your point. Like no one's down there being like, wait, how many do you got?
No, I mean everyone is staying. Yeah. Like, every hotel room says max occupancy 4, and right. I've brought 5 kids in or 5 people into a hotel room sure. for the last 9 years.
We used to. My dad would check in, and then we'd all come around the back. Yeah.
Well, and you also, yeah. I've heard...
drive around and yeah. then, like, yeah. float in.
I've also heard how you guys yeah. would, because you had twins, so you would let them only see one of the twins at a time.
Yeah, do like a 2-for-1 kind of situation with the twins.
That's great.
Yeah, we were pulling some, like, you know, some fast ones on these Holiday Inns.
Yeah. And then you'd bring down your 6'4 brother and your dad.
Yeah.
Eat a mm-hmm. combined 15 pancakes.
We used to like always swim at the pool.
Yeah.
And then they had the vending machines back in the day at hotels.
Yeah.
Now they've come to their senses. They're like, we can charge like $10 for a pack of M&Ms.
For a thing of...
Yeah. But my dad would buy like 2 packs of M&Ms and tear them in half.
It's a classic Dave Hoagland move.
So every yeah. kid got a half a bag of M&Ms with a little...
Kids eat free.
2-for-1.
I mean, not going to lie, that's how I do the fries at yeah. out for 4 kids.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
And didn't you say your parents would like turn on the news at like 6 a.m.?
Yes! We would, yes. Oh. When I was in high school. I was traumatized by the news.
They would just turn on the full, they'd turn on all the lights.
Yeah. CNN.
Yeah.
I don't know. NPR. I don't know. Okay. Forgive me. Excuse me.
Just Fox News.
The local news.
The local news. Yeah.
We had news on. Oh, sorry. I'm not.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. We just had news on. That's how we woke up. Yeah. Actually, my dad would wake me up and try and run with me.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Before, like, a road trip.
Oh, man. Well, that's a nice segue. So, we did not stay in at a Holiday Inn. Our allegiance is to the Marriott brand. We haven't done a big family trip in a while, and you know, I have so many points on Delta and Marriott. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I keep telling everyone, I was like, hey guys, we had a lot of these to burn. And
a couple years ago we were like, we're gonna do Disney, like do it for real.
Yeah.
And then like we're gonna go to Disney World, we're gonna do multiple days.
Yeah, because we've done Disneyland. We're in Southern California. We've done Knott's, we've done Disney, we've done Universal a bunch, and you're like, let's go to the big ones and just go check them out. And then we canceled
yeah,
on
and
Disney
then,
about a well, month and a half before.
We waited till Claire was almost like 9
yeah.
to take her to Disneyland. Like she went as a baby. But then we were like, wait, what if we didn't fly to Florida and just drove an hour and a half north to Anaheim?
Mm-hmm.
They have SoCal discounts. It's like
yeah.
so easy.
Yeah.
So,
but our kids, we wanted to show them something new mm-hmm. because our kids go to Disneyland. They'll go with their choir groups. Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. So they've done Disney a bit. And so... Universal Florida has the new Epic Park.
Well, yeah. So let me say a couple mm-hmm. things on that. One, if you're listening to this and you're like, why would you ever do Universal Studios over Disney? I will just say this. If you do not love Disney, Disneyland is not worth it. Like if Disneyland is not like super nostalgic for you and you love the characters and
movies.
You cry when you're on Main Street and you want to go, you have all your spots and your movies and your rides.
The food.
If that's just like kind of interesting to you, but not magical to you, then Disney is too expensive, too crowded, the lines are too long, and the rides stink. Because really, Disneyland has like four good rides, you know?
Yeah.
And we'll throw in California Adventure, six good rides. So our kids are not Disney kids, and we're not Disney people. And I'm not against it anyways. I mean, we've ranted a bunch on this pod about, you know, hey, Disney adults, live your life.
Jesse Egan, who you worked with.
Love Jesse.
In December, they're pass holders. Yeah. They go all the time, every season. They love it.
Yeah.
They go to Hawaii and go to Disney.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
They do everything.
And
they'll go on cruises.
Yeah.
Disney cruises.
And our kids have an affinity for some of the Universal properties or some of the Universal, what are the words I'm looking, IPs. Like, where like Nintendo, you know, and I love Transformers and The Simpsons and, you know, like the behind the scenes stuff, you know, like the.
And like the sets and the design.
So, so anyway, so we, a couple years ago, there's a Universal Studios in Osaka and Japan, Universal Studios Japan, and they came out with they had the first Nintendo World, and then they also built a Donkey Kong Minecart Madness ride. Mm-hmm. And I was like, listen, Donkey Kong Country is my favorite video game of all time. Beautiful game. Love the ride. Love the characters. Donkey might be my favorite Nintendo character, and I think Diddy Kong might be my daughter's favorite Nintendo character. So they built that, and I was like, Japan's far away. And then they built it. They built a Nintendo World in the LA one, but then in the Orlando one, they built Nintendo and the Donkey Kong World. And you're like, okay, let's go to Orlando. So that was kind of
the progression.
We got the points. We got the Marriott points. We got the Delta points. Let's go out to Universal Orlando. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if you like, I did a lot of research and everyone's like, don't go between Christmas and New Year's. It's the busiest time. But
yes, because we're all out of school.
That's when we could go.
Yeah.
And spring break doesn't work, you know, and that's crazy. Yeah, we're going between Christmas and New Year's.
Listen, it's this does not apply to everybody, but I'll just come out and say it. When you didn't have to pay for the flight or hotel, what it means is you buy the fast pass.
Well, yeah, and it ended up working really well because we got in super late the first night. So if you don't have a fast pass, you really do need to rope drop.
Yeah.
To get on a couple rides before 11 a.m.
Have you done any Orlando? Mm-hmm. Have you spent any time in Orlando, the theme park, anything like that?
I have not. Mercedes has with Sunflower, but I personally have not gone to do it.
Oh, yeah. They went like a year or two.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And to be honest, I don't even remember what they did. I can't remember if they went to a theme park. I think they might have. I don't know right at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Dustin had been.
I'd been twice randomly. I'd been once with Taylor.
Yeah.
And then once with Joel because he was with you on the road with me.
Yeah, you had an off day.
Yeah. What you you know, what you realize in Florida is what do they have that California doesn't have? Room.
Yeah.
They just have
so much land.
It's big. That's what I know.
It's not unlike Anaheim.
Yeah.
You know, because when Disney built Disneyland, it was like farms down there.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. But Disney's out of room. In L.A.
Right.
Or
now they're buying
County,
all the neighborhoods.
Now they're buying the neighborhoods.
That's like a real thing. Like they're literally buying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Disney like owns neighborhoods in the area now. And it's just a matter when people move out.
Yeah.
They basically just don't let people move back in.
I think they're always expanding.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to.
Yeah. Well, Universal is out of room, though.
Yeah.
Universal in L.A. You're like.
Universal is like in the Hollywood Hills, like on a hill. There's studios all around it. Like, they're out of range.
Yeah. Like, the Fast and Furious ride they're building is literally
on
a
the
slope.
Hill.
And it's kind of like, oh, this is the only way it works, is build terrifying rides where you might actually fall off.
So we end up choosing to go to Universal Orlando because we have an affinity for the parks. We got the points. We go. So if you don't know, Universal Studios Orlando is three parks. There's Universal Studio. There's Islands of Adventure, and then there's Epic. That's the new one.
They also have a water park.
They also have a water park, which we did not go to.
Yeah.
Though one of the days we could have. It was warm.
We had one warm day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There are very few things that are truly fun for the whole family when you have teenagers. I've made this joke before. When something is advertised as fun for the whole family, what it means is fun for everyone but the teen.
Now we have a college kid, a high schooler, and a middle schooler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they have very few things that they like to do together.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly the teens, the problem is we're there, and they don't like that.
Their friends aren't there.
Yeah.
That's high school and college kids, they want to be with their friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the middle schooler wants to spend time with her older siblings.
Yeah.
But they're busy being young adults.
Yeah.
So it's great to get a little trip in, spend some time together.
Yeah. Because when you're 16, you think your parents are the dumbest humans that have ever lived.
I mean, I think developmentally, like your brain, that's what it's telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These are the two dumbest people I've ever met. These two idiots have never had a good idea. Ever.
Not once.
They don't know anything about anything.
Nope.
They don't understand.
I know everything.
And I'm going to correct them on everything.
Yeah.
And you were that way to your parents.
Yep.
And then your punishment for that is your kids will be that way to you. This little thing that used to love you now looks at you and thinks you don't know how to dial a phone. You don't know how to send a text message. You don't know how to drive somewhere. You don't know how to get somewhere. You don't know how to buy something. You don't know how to do anything.
Nothing.
You idiot.
Yeah.
So, my kids like to tell me how to get around airports.
You're adorable.
You've never flown without me. Your kid does one driving lesson and now likes to tell you how to merge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not using your left blinker, Dad. You don't know how to turn the windshield wipers on.
You don't have insurance.
It is very humbling having teenagers who just, I was going to say look at you and think you're stupid, but they don't even look at you.
They don't look at you.
No.
No.
No, they go from phone to rolled eyes. Phone.
Well.
You ever try and tell your 16-year-old to look at you in the eye?
They'll look through you. Yeah,
yes.
But theme parks work for them. Theme parks work for them. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to get there and we got delayed as you do. But I don't know that for that age group that we had, I don't know. And this is actually, I do think Universal gears towards teens more.
Yeah.
Because it has more exciting rides. And properties that they kind of maybe care a little more about, that I don't know that we've done 3 days of activities that I don't know what else our kids would have been excited about other than that.
Yeah, I mean,
as excited about.
I don't think our son could have done 3 days at Disney.
No.
You know.
No.
So it wouldn't have held his attention, and I would say 2.5 days held his attention. At
Universal. Yeah, we did lose him by the third.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
He's 18.
It's okay.
There's a girl.
Changes everything.
Which is very relatable because I'm like, I mean, I can't judge you for that. On his timeline, I'm going to get married next summer. Not this coming. On if I'm on Joel's timeline, 2 summers from now, I'm going to get married.
Well, he'll be 19 in May. So you get married this summer.
Yeah, but it was the second summer of my college that we got married.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's not exact, but don't get caught in the weeds, Mel.
No, I was thinking it was this summer. That's what I was thinking.
No, it was after my, because then I went into my junior year of college.
You're right.
But,
you're right.
Yeah, it was so fun. The rides are so exciting. So the first day we go to Islands. And our plan was we're going to go to Islands one day and then maybe Universal a little bit because you can do a pass where you can go between those two parks and they're next to each other and they have the Hogwarts Express, which connects them, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then one full day, our early day, we're going to do at Epic, which is like 2 miles down the road. So we end up just spending all of day one in Islands of Adventure because it's an unbelievable park.
Yeah.
We make a mistake and then we go in, we take a left. The first ride we do is the Hulk roller coaster, which even my son said, like, that was too much for the first ride. we need to ease into the day.
It's like a very intense.
It's a very jerky, very kind of like 90s roller coaster where it's like fast and hard. It's the Hulk, you know?
Yeah. Felt like my head was shaking.
Yeah. And I'm like, can I get one of those little patches?
You did put the patch on.
I put it on after, yeah. And it was great. I didn't get sick. I think I feel good about the Nateland cruise. Hopefully I'm not going to be puking my guts out there between sets. All my shows are with Derek Stroop. If you see my time shortened, Derek, I need you to stretch. I'm puking. but anyways, Islands Adventure has
amazing rides. Yes.
Two of the best rides I've ever been on. The Velocicoaster.
Yes.
And then Hagrid's motorbike. Which
I've heard about that.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean,
yeah.
You're on a motorcycle. So like you're holding it like this.
One's motorcycle, one's sidecar.
Yeah.
And he's talking to you and you're just like going on an adventure. There's dragons, unicorns.
Great.
We did it during the day and at night.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Really great.
Yeah.
I think there are three rides between all the parks that our kids like couldn't stop talking about. And one is at Epic, Stardust Racers.
Right when you walk in the park. It's twin roller coasters.
Yeah.
So they just like intersect and like they even like twist together.
Yeah. Roller coasters have come a long way in our lifetime, man.
Yeah. Mm. And it's never a long wait because they have four roller coasters.
Yeah.
And two at a time. Amazing.
Yeah. So Islands of Adventures was probably my favorite one. Well, I don't know, but you walk in it.
They had all the 90s.
They had all the 90s Marvel
superhero
stuff.
Superhero theming.
Marvel's particular. Rides. Before any of this, so it all has to look like the comic books because they don't have the licensing for the modern stuff. So it's all like 90s X-Men looking stuff.
It's amazing.
That's cool.
Great. It's really cool.
They have a great Spider-Man ride, which we actually preferred over the new Disney one. That Disney Spider-Man ride was a bit of a disappointment to me. Mm-hmm. Really, the Marvel area in general is a bit of a disappointment. You hope they build that out. Because Star Wars Land in Disney is so amazing that you go to Marvel, it's a little bit. And Cars is unbelievable.
Yeah.
That Marvel, which is currently one of the most valuable properties, if not the most valuable. The whole area just kind of...
I think they're going to build it out more.
Yeah.
I don't know. Listen. Or maybe at Disney World. But
yeah.
What else was at Islands? Oh, Jurassic Park has...
Yeah. So they're shutting that down this month.
Really?
And I think they're going to build it to be like the one in L.A.
Got it. Is that Jurassic World?
They got to update it. They got to put Chris Pratt in it.
Right.
Okay. So Velocicoaster has Chris
Pratt.
And that is an amazing roller coaster.
It's a great roller coaster.
But then, so the Jurassic Park at Hollywood is more modernized.
Yeah.
With the drop.
And Chris Pratt.
Yeah, and then, Universal Orlando does not have that yet.
No, not the drop one, but the Velocicoaster does have it. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
They've got a King Kong ride.
So that's Epic. King Kong Skull Island, which that's the thing. Some people, I don't know if people like the screens or not, but that's one thing that Universal has is more of the screen ones. So they have the Skull Island one, which is very similar to when you do the
studio tour
in Hollywood where you're kind of in the tram and stuff happens on the side of you, which is really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and at times you're just like, oh, wow, what if there really was a huge gorilla that would break the jaws of dinosaurs?
You do feel like you're falling and sneeze on you and, water spray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our son also sneezed on our daughter. That was fun. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was our own little VR experience.
Tradition.
You're like in college, still doing that. Siblings be sibling.
So then our second day, that was the hardest part, was getting up super early to make it to Epic.
Mm-hmm.
But it was necessary because Epic is so crowded because it's only been out for like a year.
Right.
It's tough because a lot of people go straight to Super Mario World, Nintendo World.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay at like the Universal hotels, you can sometimes get in early.
Yeah.
Some of those hotels give you express...
But we didn't have Marriott points.
But we didn't have that stuff. So we ended up in the Isle of Burke, which is the How to Train Your Dragon world.
So if your kid and our son, like, this was fun because our son did watch How to Train Your Dragon. And he, you wouldn't say it, but you could see it. You mm-hmm. could see, like, he remembered being a little kid who loved this movie.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
It's an adorable, you know, land.
It's really well done, man.
We didn't catch a lot of shows, but we did catch that show.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of little kids, but it was cool.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.
I've seen some things that have ranked Epic as like one of, if not the best theme park in America right now. And one of the reasons is because it really has this very great built out distinct worlds. And you literally walk through portals into them. Like you.
Yeah.
So you walk mm-hmm. and they have little phrases over them. Like, you know, mm-hmm. the Mario one's like, here we go, you know. And then the Monsters one is like, it's alive, you know. Mm-hmm. So they have a Monsters world. They have a Mario world. They have the Island of Burke or Isle of Burke world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have some others that I'm forgetting. But those,
I know, I'm forgetting.
Those were the standouts. So. So we go into there, both great rides that are open, really fun. Mm-hmm. And one of the nice things, we didn't have to get in the Mario Kart.
Bowser's Challenge. We've done that a million times.
A million times.
At Hollywood.
But what I was there for was the Donkey Kong World. This is the one time that I felt like a little kid was going to the Donkey Kong World, because it's part of the Nintendo World. And it's awesome. You just mm-hmm. hear the drums and you hear the songs of the video game you played. And they got little drums and stuff out there. And the ride's great. Minecart Madness is so fun.
Yeah.
It's very fun. Very very different. It's very unique. Mm-hmm. And they make it, I don't know if you ever played the game, but you have to get off the track. You look like you're off the track a few times. That's mm-hmm. part of the visual of it, that you look like you're going on a jump and yeah. you're going to detach from, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's a good ride. You know, like you're moving on it.
Yeah.
It's not just like bing, bong, bong, you know.
No. Our kids, when all was said and done, our kids, top ranked rides were the ones that we mentioned, which was the Stardust Racers, mm-hmm. Velocicoaster, Hagrid's, and Donkey Kong. Mm-hmm. Donkey Kong Minecart Madness is mm-hmm. a really... And then there's just a lot of other really good, solid rides. Hulk is a great one. Spider-Man's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Isle of Burke, the one was surprisingly fun.
I think what we're forgetting is every Universal Land, like all three of them, have a Harry Potter
land. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
And they're all different. So
Harry Potter is the brand that makes Universal all their money, because every single one of their Islands of Adventure, mm-hmm. Epic, and Universal Studios all have three different, distinct, really cool built out. One of them is Hogwarts, and then one of them is like Paris, and then one of them is the city that they go into.
Oh, yeah.
Which I forget the name of.
Hogsmeade?
Maybe. Don't know. I don't know enough about
it. I assume the wands then work at all the Universal?
Yeah.
Like if you get a wand.
Kids are using the wands to do all sorts of stuff. Everyone's in character. in that land. You can't even find the bathroom in that land.
Yeah.
Like, it's like so themed.
Yeah.
You know, like, if there's the huge dragon.
And we always eat at Broomsticks. We like that place. The ribs.
Kids love the ribs at Broomsticks. And then the train was a really cool experience.
So the train connects the two parks. So if you want, it's so fun. And you have to find the little half, what's it called?
One and a half.
Yeah.
Quarters or, yeah.
There's something three quarters.
I don't know.
Sorry to Harry Potter people.
Fans. But the train takes you away from the city, like back to school, and then you can take it.
Back home.
Yeah, leaving school. So it's very, very
really well done.
Yeah. So, and
the Harry Potter rides are great too. They're all fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Hagrid's was our favorite though.
Yeah. I think, that's the one that's a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. The other ones are all kind of visual ones, you know, or kind of hybrids. Yeah.
And, yeah. Spinning you and stuff. Yeah.
The, so Monsters is, they have one that's like the Monsters Land. And that's where some people have what is their very favorite ride, which is like the Frankenstein.
Monsters Unchained.
Unchained. Yeah. I did not do this ride because as far as I could see visually, it was the one most likely to make me yak. But you guys said it was great. But you guys weren't crazy about it. Some people say it's their favorite ride.
It's their favorite ride. Yeah. I would compare it to the Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Disneyland.
Probably a little better.
Yeah. Sorry, my stomach's growling. no, it's like shocking and surprising. It's a little bit like Mummy.
Yeah.
You know, the Mummy ride.
Yeah.
So it's great.
I mean, Haunted Mansion's kind of a chintzy little ride.
I like the nostalgia.
But I mean, I think that this one...
Nightmare Before Christmas.
This one is, you know. Our kids actually said this was scary at times. Like there was.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. No, but I think you go underground and that's what made me think of Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good ride. I don't really watch horror movies like or old
horror
movies.
Well, they're old ones.
They're
like Frankenstein. But Dracula.
It was fun. I enjoyed it for sure. And then Werewolf is also in that world. Which is what you lost your phone on.
Yeah, so if you're gonna do Werewolf, make sure that phone's in tight. A lot of the rides in Universal will not let you bring your phone on. You walk through metal detectors.
Yeah,
they're like serious.
They
you better not bring your phone.
The tiniest lockers, and you're going through metal detectors, so you cannot have any personal items on. Like Velocicoaster.
Werewolf will let you bring your phone though, but if you get those deep annoying Viore pockets, don't.
So that was a big chunk of our time at Universal was getting your phone back.
Got it back though. It's a miracle. You ready for
it? In the nets.
So it falls out. I realize, oh crap, my phone fell out. And then you immediately go, I mean, there's no way.
There's no way.
There's no way you could get your phone back after falling off of going a roller coaster. And then I go to the guy and he goes, fill out this report. And you're like, there's no way that's going to make
it. So you do find you find the location. And then Gloria spots it.
Well, this is hours later, though.
Was it?
Yes. We did not spot it right away.
That's right.
We do the thing. We do the online report.
Yeah.
And we're walking around, and I'm just still thinking a lot about, we're kind of like looking in the bushes and stuff and like looking up in the nets. But you're looking for a black phone and a black net.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to find it.
Yeah.
And... finally, we go like out about and I go, hey, I'm going to take Gloria and go look one more time. And I'm going to go by the guest service center. And they go, hey, look at dusk and call your phone because it'll light up and you'll have a better chance. So we go down there. Gloria spots it. We call it. It's immediately it. But then you go, I'm still not going to get it.
No. Okay. So it's right there.
You can't just be like, you're looking up at something 30 feet above you. They're not going to shut down the roller coaster on December 27th because you lost your phone, you know, and they're like, okay, well, we got these guys who come through after the park is closed to sweep. Maybe they'll look for it. Maybe they're, I had to tell a bunch of people.
So you're looking on your location. Your phone hasn't moved yet.
Yeah.
You know, next morning, phone hasn't moved.
Well, remember, I uploaded pictures of me pointing where it was, screenshots of where it was.
Video.
I did a video. I talked to a lead. I showed it where it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very involved.
And I still got like an email yesterday like, hey, following up on this lost phone case.
Yeah.
Like, so... You Uber back early. this is the coldest day of our trip. Mm-hmm. You're talking with guest services. They won't really let you in the park because you don't have a ticket, yeah. but you're trying to get your phone for an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. You get it.
But it's unbelievable. It's a miracle. Because I'll tell you, spotting your phone in a net 30 feet above you does not feel any better than not having your phone. Because you're like, if anything, you feel more helpless.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Because you're like, yeah. well, what am I? Oh,
but you can't have it.
Yeah. How am I going to get that? How am I going
to? Yeah. And you're like, I got to go to Verizon because we got to get on a flight. And then you got to go to work. And
I'm out $1,000 or, you know, or how much. I don't even know.
Yeah. No, it just like it's a whole thing. And so the third day, I think there was a lot of relief when you got back
yeah.
to the hotel. You go, hey. It's really windy today.
Yeah. Everybody dressed warm.
Yeah, and I got my phone.
Yeah.
You texted me, like, I'll be back in 20. So we pack up. We go to our last day, our third
which
day.
Which was your favorite.
Which was my favorite, because I had never been to Universal. Like,
Orlando, yeah.
In Orlando. So it's, like, on water, and it's got...
That was so funny. He's like, you didn't tell me there's water features.
It's, like, a whole, like...
You love water features.
Love it. So they've got... We're back in California. They've got San Francisco. They've got Central Park.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, like New York
Hollywood,
City,
like you
streets,
know,
brownstones.
Hollywood stars.
Hollywood.
A little cleaner than the actual one.
Ireland. London.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was like an Irish pub.
Oh, and, that's right, yeah.
Just a couple different streets. So some of the stuff we didn't hit the rides because we'd been on the ones that
we've been to Transformers.
Hollywood.
We've been to Simpsons. You know,
Minions.
We did some of the old ones, the Men in Black, the ETs. You know,
oh, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Their kids are like, all right, you know, like it's fast.
It was cool back then.
Ish.
Men in Black.
Oh, yeah. Men in Black's a shooter
cool.
ride.
Yeah.
Men in Black was so
shocking
cool.
that's still a ride.
Yeah, I mean,
like, there hasn't even been... Was there a reboot of the movie?
Maybe, yeah.
Did they even do that?
Yeah, it is one that you're like, how's this franchise still going?
Yeah.
But the Hogwarts ride is great. And they have that's the coolest Hogwarts era.
That's the Paris.
That's...
Right? The Paris Hogwarts?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Or Paris Harry Potter Land, yeah.
Yeah, I should say, yeah. Harry Potter Land. We did the Mummy. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did the Jimmy Fallon ride, which mm-hmm. was fun.
Which is fun if you've been on the Tonight Show.
And then we ate at the Minions Cafe, which was surprisingly good.
Yeah. And our daughter was like, there's no basil. You're like, this is the Minions Cafe. This was made by Gru. Relax. And she's like, but based on how expensive it is, you would think it is like, I paid for it and I'm not complaining.
Have your pizza without basil.
Yeah.
And then that's when we took the train ride.
Yeah.
And Islands.
And you mentioned Mummy. We did Mummy there.
Yeah. So we finished in Islands.
Mummy's a little different, but go ahead.
Yeah. We finished our trip in Islands mm-hmm. and we did Velocicoaster, Hagrid's again.
Hulk again.
And...
Oh, the Doctor Doom ride was our last one, which is fun because mm-hmm. it's a classic, like, just up and then drop. But you kind of say goodbye to the park.
Oh.
Yeah, which was nice.
It was nice. We did it with our son, mm-hmm. the three of you two, and that was nice.
Yeah.
Because we were kind of losing him on the third day.
We were losing him on the third day. And you know, it's like a kind of, it was like really sad kind of walking out with him and knowing like, oh man, this era is really kind of... come to an end. Like, he'll still come vacation with us and stuff, but he's not like our kid.
Sometimes.
He's not like our little kid on this. Like, we went into the Universal gift shop and like, get anything you guys want, and he didn't get anything, and you're like,
you know, like a keychain or a
sure you don't want to remember this moment with us.
Exactly. Your 18 year old son not wanting anything, you're like, nothing. Keychain, something. He'd got a keychain earlier.
The thing I got was the photo of us on the Jurassic drop.
Yeah.
That was my keepsake.
Did you buy one of those?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I sent it in the group chat.
Oh, sorry.
Do you remember the photo?
I don't think I...
So, yeah, like that. I got the high-res photo, and I brought ponchos. It was cold. We all wore the ponchos, but our son... didn't. He didn't wear the poncho, so he's like...
That was hilarious.
He's like,
oh,
fist
yeah, there
up.
It is. I
like,
see it now.
That was the one time he smiled.
Nice. I like that. Well, just the full risk averse. Like, I'm an adult now. I'm going to take the punishment of this ride.
Yeah.
I like that.
You guys are wearing ponchos. I don't need it.
Yeah.
And then him getting drenched.
The
roller coasters were, the pictures of the roller coasters were proof that your teens were having fun.
Well, like, we're covering our hair and you're holding your glasses and then he's just like, you know.
Drenched.
Yeah. So that was fun. So yeah, it was an amazing trip, something we've never done.
And we stayed at Hotel Landy, which is the definition of a hotel that works for what you need.
It's a hotel.
We had a bunch of breakfast coupons. We got them. The coffee was fine.
Just Ubered, no car.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, great
we did
trip.
Not do anything outside of the hotel or the theme park.
Well, I mean,
we
if
just
you're
committed to it.
It is a little bit, it's similar to Orange County in that regard that they're in Anaheim where you're like, there's really nothing to do right here. I mean, you can go to, maybe
you're
there's
like,
a
oh,
show
there's
at the House of Blues.
Yeah, I was going to say Garden Walk, but it's like.
Yeah,
there's like restaurants and stuff, but we were just like committed. Like,
Talk about a way to torture your teenager.
No kidding,
hit the mall with these restaurants.
Yeah. Nate, I was talking to Gloria about it yesterday and she's like, Joel was up till like 2 a.m. on his phone and then we couldn't wake him up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, well, he's a college kid.
Yeah. You know? He has a very different like timetable.
And he's still running like 8 miles every day.
Yeah, going on the treadmill.
Yeah.
We walk 10 miles a day. Yeah.
Still gain 10 pounds.
Yep.
Wow, my feet hurt. I should get some ice cream. All right. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, folks. Thanks for listening to that episode, everybody. We want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for your support of this podcast. To Adam Bush,
Alex Foose and Sam Graham,
Avril Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Brian and Amy Nagel,
Carrie Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finland,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibling,
Damaris Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Dustin Daly,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Ribera,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Christy Harrod,
Lori Amos,
Lauren and Nick Rachel,
Matt and Sam Slazdom,
Michelle Carlson,
Nick Cordell,
Naomi Walker,
Preston and Rachel Wilson,
Robert and Nellie Capin,
Scott Elliott,
Stephen Menya,
Yvette Williams,
Zachary and Tammy Moyle,
and Tiffany
Payne. Thanks, everybody.